Let's see.
Good.
Good.
All right. Check sugar. Everybody's phone's off, so we don't get any bad news in the middle of the show.
And if you do get bad news, don't tell
me. Shut up about it.
Don't tell me.
Bad news, shut up about it.
Hey, Morgan, you want to see some?
Look at the
Oh, my God, Morgan, they're canceling the show.
Christmas is canceled. What? Stuffy just put up as a...
Fires just walked.
What?
Yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah, that was my bad.
Yeah.
We'll start with Thanksgiving and Christmas, because you got something going on. What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay, can we start over? That just was I'll just start it normal. So,
no, that wasn't normal. That was as normal as it got. You need to learn how to take a feed.
What do you mean?
I fed you. And then you're supposed to go. I
teed it up for you.
No, I know. I teed it up. Just like, so Thanksgiving. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Yes. Anyway, first off, we have Mike here.
Yeah.
Mike Filan. He is in place of Kelly. Today she is coming back from the islands. So
he's cutting off for two good leads.
Yeah. All right. Week of Thanksgiving. I know last week we all said what we were thankful for. You had one rule, not say family. You said family.
Hey, you want to get on that mic? Now,
what rule? What did you say? Your
feet? It came out his nose.
That was so funny because I was, okay, nobody's talking about family. And I went, Mark for Liam?
It's like Miss Congeniality. Like, I really do want world peace.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
Yeah, there's one rule.
You can say what you think, warm, but not family. Come to me, I went, I really.
And then, you know, you were talking about different things, and then circling back, you're like, so at the end of the day, you know, I feel like that's like, so.
Just
so what you're saying is, family?
All right.
What are you thankful for, Mike?
Yeah. I'm thankful for my family to start off with as well, but.
It's just a go-to answer.
Yeah, family.
Yeah, great friends, Casey like Sampson. You guys, and grateful for Casey Sampson as well. Just. Yeah, being in a wonderful community, a wonderful opportunity to be here with you guys.
Nice. All right.
Good answer.
Yeah.
I lost it. Shit. Cut.
Obviously, it's a big week for us for multiple reasons, and why I'm very tired and have dark circles under my eyes is because we have Thanksgiving Thursday. Once that's done, obviously, start of the Christmas season. And we do a big Christmas event called the Casey Sampson Teen Christmas that originated from Colby's family's Christmas party, bringing it to Vienna. So our client event is the Saturday, but then we launch it to the public on Monday.
Right.
But first, I just want to give people a little insight on where it even came from and how it started. So I think the best person to say where it came from is you.
Sure, yeah. Growing up, my parents came to an agreement that my mom could do whatever she wanted with the inside of the house, but she couldn't touch the outside because I think my dad knew how obsessed with Christmas she was that it would get kind of out of hand.
Right.
So every year it kind of grew a little bit. And by the time I'm in college, we had 25 live Christmas trees in the house, all different themes, big party every year.
Wow.
After that was kind of shut down, you guys decided to dust it all off and start bringing it up to the public.
Yep. So, you know, stop doing the Christmas party at the house. We have all these ornaments that her, you know,
God, like
her
and Rod all over the world.
To Europe. Uh-huh. I mean, just fabulous trees. Okay. You have no idea how amazing these trees were. And so, obviously, we got the office on Church Street, right above Coco Vieja. Yeah. They do the Church Street stroll. So that was the original thought.
It started something like this. Maybe a few of the trees in here wouldn't look so bad.
That's how I pitched it. But then I just kind of tell you a little bit, Dad, it would be so cool. And then finally, you were like, Morgan.
Rose up in our office.
You said, do whatever you want. And I think you didn't realize how psychotic we are. Yeah. And me and Tree just balls to the wall. I mean, it is, it's insane. It's insane even for me to look at.
And the bottom line is this. It's phenomenal. It's a great thing for our clients to all come and have our party. But the Christmas stroll in Vienna, all the public can come up there and check this out, and they should if you got kids or you love Christmas. You really should, during the Christmas stroll, come on up and check it out. And then we'll have one open house after that, right?
Yeah, and we'll announce the open house later. But it is. I mean, kids, it's like you walk up into, like, a different Christmas dimension. That's what we were trying to make happen. And it's very just kid-friendly, but anyone loves it. And then the trees with the nicer ornaments, like we'll have like a scavenger hunt, the faces of Christmas. And then the kids scavenger hunt where they can go around and find things and then get some candy under the candy tree.
So, I think the coolest thing about it is if you go around and look at all the trees, the faces on the ornaments that they have, you know, and the characters that are in the trees.
The Renaissance.
My favorite is the faces of all the little elves and everything in there. It's really... really fun.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
It's a good shot. Don't miss it. It's a couple of opportunities to do it.
Every tree has like its own theme, and it's just, you know, a 10 out of 10.
There's a new one this year that might be my new favorite.
Yeah, there's multiple new ones this year.
God damn it.
A new one that might be my new favorite.
The crescendo
is when everything's done, everybody's looked at it, then we're going to have a bunch of kids from local elementary schools. Yeah. Come and get Christmas presents for themselves and their parents. And so it's, you know, the gift of giving. You know, our clients' kids should bring in gifts for their kids, and then they get them, and they can give them to their parents.
Yes.
So it's kind of everybody feels good when you're giving something to someone, and it feels good for those kids not just to get a gift, but get enough gifts that they have something to give their parents.
Well, and
so everybody's getting behind that. We got very generous clients. So.
And I'm so excited for it, too, because there's one thing, too. Obviously, Christmas, it's about, you know, giving and getting. But it's also just the Christmas spirit and being able to experience, like, something magical.
Yeah.
So I think even bigger than giving them gifts and letting them pick out gifts or whatnot, it's just an experience. Yeah. You're coming in and you're going to see an experience that, I mean, I straight up would piss myself if I was a little kid and walked in there.
Like, yeah, really. Type in your pants and they're not going to have any idea.
No.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to be able to give that to all the kids of Vienna.
And Tree is standing there and she can experience it once again.
Yeah.
You know, she experienced for so many years.
Yeah.
But now she can stand there and see people walk in and go, my God.
And then, well, they're going to all look at it. And I'm like, saddle up, Tree, because everyone's going to know you and Trees. I've never seen anything. I mean, us as a team couldn't be better, but the stamina on this woman of being able to put these trees, it's the most insane thing you've ever seen. And
she makes me tired to watch
it. It is. I mean, yeah.
For the kids when they walk in and the whole place smells like chocolate with Coco Vienna there. That's the best. It's amazing. It's magical.
Her talent with the trees, but more what you do with all the ceilings and the walls is as deep.
And that's why I think it was so, like, such a good fit because she, you know, does these magical trees. And then my brain, of course, is just crazy and did, you know, I wanted to create
ceilings,
and did everything to, like, the flip around it. So it just was a perfect match. I just want to die. So I was talking to Jamie yesterday and I was saying, you know, but I never could do it without, you know, my mother-in-law. She's amazing. Yes. And I was like, she's a straight elf. And Jamie goes, dare I say, MELF? I was like, that's the best. Never going to.
The MELF.
She's my MELF.
A mother-in-law elf. Well, and I got news for you. If you're going to come to Samson, if you're going to come to Casey Samson's team, you're going to settle on a new home, you're just going to be surrounded with Christmas trees. I don't care if it's June or July or August.
We can do Christmas in July.
Well,
I was telling him I can't.
You're just going to have to sit in the middle of a
magic, though. Who doesn't want to experience magic?
Because it's too much.
Everybody.
It's way too much to pull down and put back up. So,
are you just now realizing that after I pulled it down and then put it back up? And now I'm
somebody to the Christmas store.
Well, at first, as the owner, you're like, there's no way. I've got to get back to business. And it's so much work to take it down and put it back up. It's like, so screw it. Everybody's just
kind of. I just want to be able to take it every year and make it better and better.
I know. You come by that honestly.
Yes, I know.
Every year we have to take our team and make it so much better than last year's team that we could destroy last year's team if we ever had to
keep it.
So that's what it is. So with that, let's go to some of the business stuff. And I want to talk about some news things that are going on, okay? One news item is putting a lot of money in the pockets of everybody that owns homes. I want Mike to address that in a second. The next thing we're going to do, big battle between the major online search engine, Zillow, and one of the large brokers, which is Compass. They're fighting it out. They're suing each other. And we're going to get into that today, too. So let's start with SALT. Let's start with the new bill. And I will say this. Look, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I think the Republicans are just not good at naming their bills. Right. Their bill is the big, beautiful bill. They call it the Affordable Care Act. Now, whether it is or not, it's a nice name, Affordable Care Act. And they have one, Inflation Reduction Act. Although it increased inflation, it's still called that. Yeah. So the big, beautiful bill, I know it doesn't sound as well, but let's talk about the ramifications in the real estate industry for how it's going to affect us.
Sure. And Casey, you had mentioned the SALT Act. Or the SALT tax, and what that stands for is the state and local tax.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, the deduction for SALT is up to $10,000 that you can deduct. So in a state that we live in, Virginia, you know, you can write off your property tax, but also your personal property tax as well as sales tax.
Right.
And, you know, in a town like Vienna or most of Fairfax County, Northern Virginia, you can get to $10,000 in your property tax easily.
Way exceed that.
Yeah, way exceed that. And now with the new bill, that deduction has gone up to $40,000. So substantial. You know, we're talking, could say.
And your state tax. If I pay a lot of money to the state of Virginia for taxes, that's in that group too.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is, you could take $10,000 and write that off your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can write off $40,000 off your taxes that have to do with your property taxes and Virginia state tax. Now, just in round numbers, that would save somebody $10,000 to $12,000 a year of not having to pay that tax, get that back. So really, what's the benefit to most homeowners in the state of Virginia? It's $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You literally are going to bring home $1,000 a month extra because of this bill based on owning taxes. And with that said, that is for homeowners. But I know you have a stat. You're a mortgage banker. You have a stat for everything.
Yeah, absolutely. The average renter in the United States net worth is $10,000.
Right.
Sheesh. The average homeowner's net worth is over $400,000. So we're talking more than 40 times the net worth by owning a home versus renting. Yeah,
that's just that's just crazy talk that there's so much equity and value that people have, so much more than if you were a renter. So it obviously makes more sense to buy. You can actually now own a house for less than it would cost to rent it. Rents are very high, but when you take into account your tax write-offs and your principal pay downs, you actually pay less every month to own a house than to rent it. But then prepare for the stat that will knock you on your ass. Go. What stat? Tell me. What's the average age of the first time buyer?
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't be all right. Wait, where is it?
Hey, that's your cue. Boom.
Just this last week, the National Association of Realtors said that the first time home buyer is now 40 years old.
40.
40. Yeah.
What in the hell is going on between 25 and 40 that they're not buying houses? Now, I get the last 4 or 5 years. I got it. Last four years, very difficult, very competitive in order to buy a house.
That's nationally, right?
Nationally.
Yeah.
That's not in the end. I'm showing buyers, and I'm like, how are you, and what's your budget?
Sure.
And what do you do?
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable.
You're 30, and you're like, okay.
But that is a natural statistic. And it's very hard to digest that, you know, the 25s and 30s are not buying homes, which is just crazy. But I will tell you that as a market watcher, somebody that follows this market, It is buyer time, man. The buyer time is now. Absolutely. Rates are down.
Yeah.
Inventory is up. To me, quick stat. In between 2.5 million, this is not a first-time home buyer group, but between 2.5 million and $3 million. Are you ready? There's 74 homes on the market. 74. One is pending. One out of 74.
What house is that?
Your house. Our house. Our house. So our listing on
my arrow's down, I do a flip.
On Park Street is under contract, pending without contingencies. It is the only home between 2.5 and 3 million in Vienna and McLean that is currently under contract without contingencies.
Now let me tell you.
This was a masterclass in achievement. And I will say that, and I give you a lot of credit for this, Morgan. It was amazing that what you guys have done with promoting it. And we knew that the buyer of this house was coming from somewhere else. And sure enough, two contracts come in, both from out of town, both looking in other places. And that's where our buyers came from. But sometimes when you're faced with a unicorn, you have to break our normal protocols and really go out there on how you market. You and Jamie, who does our podcast for us, put together an incredible community, where you're walking the kids and shows you can walk into Vienna and you're meeting people and going to Vienna and walking around. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. Farmers market. It was a credible community feel. The home sold to a person that craved being in a community. Mm-hmm. It hit it right on the head of what it was all about. So here's what it is. We go through hundreds of sales, and sometimes you have an epiphany. You know, like, what's a team? This is a perfect example of a team. Okay, so you have the business part of it where we need to know price, market conditions, all the business aspects, all the protocols of selling, even when the contracts come in, which is the business side of it. I got that, right? And our team has put together those protocols. But you and Colby and Kelly bring a lifestyle to that. You know how to use my tools, but then you guys take it and add the lifestyle. What do buyers look for? What do they want? What do they really hope for? Mm-hmm. And you hit that right
in this house.
I mean, you hit that right on the head with that, with the buyer, that this is the community feel. She almost feels like if I work with you guys, I'm in the community.
And it's true, because that's how we feel. And sometimes you can say it and you can, you know, tell people about the community, this and that, but being able to show, no, really, you can walk to the farmer's market and then from there, let's go to the Van Inn. If you have little kids, go to the park. I mean, we can say Vienna's great till we're blue in the face, but it's showing people, no, this really is what happens. This
real
what
people,
they do
real
on
stuff.
Weekends.
Promised them an invite to the Rivia Stoga party.
We have new neighbors coming in, and by the way, your parents are part of Selling Point, so we got to introduce them. I guess they're awesome people.
Yeah.
But no, it really is just showing people why you want to live here, and you know,
they can picture themselves there.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
All of a sudden, for this specific deal, really the upper echelon of all elements, person comes in, why is this worth $3 million? Prove that so we get our $3 million or whatever. Prove what we get. Prove what it's worth. You touching those things at a very high level, and you guys talking to them, and of course they want to hang out with you and Colby, and you guys are cool and you know everybody. They're in the community when they do that. So the lifestyle section was so elevated. And then behind that, you got Jamie doing our podcasts and doing the videos of the reel where Jamie's actually, what are you doing, man?
Karate kicking.
Is that karate kicking? You've never seen a 240-pound guy do a karate kick, but he's over there. And then you got Julie, who's taking all that's been created and getting out to the buyers that are looking in Arlington and D.C. and McLean, Great Falls, Middleburg. Great job, Julie, to attract somebody all the way from Middleburg. But so that's what the team is all about. It's not just trying to get a bunch of clients. You guys take them. It's the business side of it, the lifestyle side of it, the back office side of it that does the marketing. And then that's just an extra flair and how those reels kind of put
it's in. A perfect combination because here's the thing. We're out. We are on the ground running. We're making things happen. We're doing the deals. We're working the deals. We are very much, you know, there for the clients, working through the whole process. And we take the tools that there's no way that we could do what we do and sit behind a computer for hours on end looking at the market stats, doing these just can't do both. You cannot be behind a computer studying stats all day, pretty much all day, study sets all day, and be out and about and putting it into action. So you are behind, you know, the scenes getting all these stats, all these charts, and feeding us this knowledge that we then take into the field, and you're just feeding it to us, and we're utilizing it and putting it into action.
You know, the important part of that business side of it is, you know, that price has got to be right. Now, I want to get to the next biggest news thing here in a second. But the price has to be right and defendable. And so a buyer finds a house. You like a house. I like a house. What's it worth? I think, there's no thinking. There's no thinking. There's an exact value on this house of what the house of this size, this age sells for, except it has this, and this, which are upgrades. Now, you can bid on those. We're not sure where people are going to end up the bid, but so I can't help you. But it's not unusual that people would bid 80 or 100, even in this market. Mm-hmm. You guys sold two houses in the last 60 days that have both bid 80 grand over list price.
Yeah, last one was 80.
The one out in Oak Hill.
Yep.
Yeah, right, that was 80. The one in Oakton was 80. Uh-huh. So we're saying we can validate the value of this house. But the additional stuff they have, you have to put that number together. And when they do that bid against each other, that's where the magic happens, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, to not lose them. So it's like this. You have contracts coming in, right? Anybody can get contracts. So like a Seinfeld episode. Anybody can get contracts. It's holding the contracts. It's keeping the contracts. It's closing the contracts and having a backup.
Yeah.
So they come in and the people want to negotiate. They say, counter our contract. We're not going to counter our contract. It's highest and best offers, right? Because if you get into that, now you're going to fight these and you're going to lose them both. So we found that, no, highest and best offers, the highest offer is basically it.
Yeah.
Because if you, and we had this, person came in bidding, they went full price. The seller countered above full price on. Mm-hmm. The person got so pissed off they left. The price he got from the house was $100,000 less than that contract.
Yeah.
So we just don't want to lose a contract.
You just don't want to do that. It's not good practice.
And again,
countering on something that
we all get trapped. We all get trapped on that. It's like, hey, the contract's here. They really want it. They're bidding up. And it's like,
you've got to tell us the number then. We're not going to come back and tell you a number that we want because if that pisses you off, like you said, then you walk. You have to come in with your best. And if you're uncomfortable coming in any higher, and you know your agent should be able to prove to you, like we do, when we're going in with buyers and it's a multiple contract situation and we have to come up with the highest number, we tell them, this is what it's worth. This is what we can prove that it's still worth and can get to. So that's the highest. Anything higher than that, I don't know. But if you love it that much, you know, then you might. And we always say, and we talked about this, when you're talking to a buyer, are you going to be pissed if you find out that this house sold for $1 more than you know,
then
something?
Then
we're offering.
It's like, well, I would pay
for that. We need to do that. I want to know that if you give one number and you find out it goes for $1 higher, then you're okay with that because you weren't going to pay one single dollar higher.
And here's the thing. Here's why we talk about teams. Our team has Mike. Mike is with Cross Country Mortgage, and that's part of our team because the buyers go to him first. And if you're working with a professional lender, they can explain all that to them a lot better. But more importantly, when you present a contract to a seller, you want to know that you're a correspondent lender, big correspondent lender, good correspondent lender, and not Zillow or not Rocket Mortgage or something like that. You've got to have the professionals throughout the whole thing. They know about the tax benefits, how to get their money back. But when we're presenting the contract to a seller or to a selling agent, they know that correspondent agents are more reliable than like a Rocket Mortgage. So let me just have one caveat. If anybody's moving out of town and you're going to buy a house, don't pre-qualify through Rocket Mortgage. Whichever realtor you're using, they know who the most respected lenders are in their area. You can go to Rocket Mortgage, but you got to work with a professional in the area that all the listing agents know and trust. The whole thing here is trust, right? We have to validate the trust of who's saying you're worth that money, you know? Mm-hmm. So, well, let me ask you something.
Sure.
Do you have, are you see it first. Before us, you see it. Do you see a lot more pre-qualifications coming in right now? Are you seeing more activity, or are you still seeing a lull?
No, definitely seeing a lot more activity right now. It seems like, with the rate cuts recently being in the news with the Fed, and it's funny because last week it sounded like the Fed wasn't going to cut rates in December. There was only a 30% chance on the Fed futures.
Right.
And one of the Fed members spoke at the end of the week last week, and now it's like a 76% chance that they're going to cut on the December 10th meeting. But with this being in the news all the time now, we're definitely seeing a lot more activity, I think. People are feeling good. Stock markets.
And the treasuries are going down, too.
Yeah.
So the treasuries are 4%
now.
Sorry about that.
I gotta get that name.
My bad. But it is. I mean, once I think, and you guys should feel it too, once the government shutdown was over, did you feel more of a push coming out? Do you see buyers coming out? I mean, let's put it this way. You just sold a $3 million listing, and you had 60 people or 80 people in your open house.
Easily.
For the other one.
Yeah.
For a different house. But so you've got to get that feel of people are coming back out.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's interesting because we do get that feeling of people are coming back out where, you know, year after year, obviously this time of year, it starts to slow down. However, we did hit a little bit of a pause in fall, so it's almost delayed a little, and now people are kind of. So I really don't think we're going to hit, like, a halt like we sometimes do in the dead of winter. And
I agree with that.
Yeah. I think that it's going to just kind of continue on being how it is right now. It's not going to fall off because people are kind of anxious and waiting.
Heads up demand. Yeah.
We usually have a bunch of steam in the spring, and everybody's rolling, and then all of a sudden the tariffs hit, and it just went flat, right? So there was a lot of information about tariffs. I think it scared a lot of people. Then in the fall, we're getting our momentum going, government shutdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we really have suppressed the market. It's going to be the worst sales market that you've seen in 30 years. That's all my numbers say. That's as bad as
this year?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This year is the worst year for sales that there's been in 30 years.
That's been a pretty good year, so I can't wait.
I know.
Oh, shit, I'm excited for a good year.
It's been a pretty damn good year.
That's when we thrive, though. Because of our systems, our protocols, and everything, that's when we thrive.
Yeah.
When it's hard for everybody across the board is when we really excel.
Well, and there you go. Colby, you got 74 houses. One sold.
There you go.
Right? So we're sitting there going, wait a minute, wait until you guys withdraw, and then you guys might want to talk to a different group. Yeah. So,
I mean, it is harder when anyone can just throw something up and sell it. You're like, oh, come on.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
It's all right. But
you're right. Yeah. When tough markets, you do need the right people to do it. And because the homes are still very well priced, all you got to do is just be smart when you're selling the homes. So now I want to get to being smart about selling these homes. There's a massive lawsuit going on in the news. Everybody will read about it, and it will affect some sellers negatively. And that is Compass and Zillow are in a lawsuit, okay? So Compass is a big real estate company. Zillow is the number one search engine for houses. If people are looking for a house, usually they'll start and look at Zillow, right? Mm-hmm. So they're fighting it out. Why is that? Why? What's the battle going on here? Compass is business model, and everybody has different business models. Their business model is they're going to have a private network. They're going to take their listings. They're going to offer it to their agents only for sale and have a little private network, and which I find incredible that they do that. Now, you can't buy their listings. It's just Compass agents.
It's crazy.
So this is a, I mean, they're only 10 or 11% of the market, but they're gonna shut out 90% of the market.
Yeah.
Now, here's the deal. I think it's damn thing all the time, cutting down the exposure that these buyers have to this house.
It's crazy.
And now Zillow is saying, if you offer that on that private network of Compass, you will not appear in Zillow. So go to a seller and say, go to a seller and say, if you're going to do that, you are going to now understand how many, I mean, I think Compass sells what?
2.5%
of their, so Compass sells, if they list it with Compass and a Compass agent sells it, that's 2.5% of the market. So basically, to offer your house to 2.5% of the market, you lose the ability to have all of Zillow. Now, let me tell you something. I've talked to them. I've talked to some agents. I've talked to this. And Donnie has talked to extensive agents. They actually believe this is in best interest.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's almost sense. Like a. It's almost like a cult.
Who believes
like,
it? The agents.
90% of your buyers.
The agents. They what buy it.
What is the reasoning that they believe that it's in the best interest?
Because our clients are so high level that we're going to expose to our clients. And let me just say this.
It just makes
yada yada yada. Bullshit. No matter what you say or why
I
you
can ask
about,
London if that made sense.
It's absolute bullshit. Because let me tell you why you do that. You do that because I'm trying to get the buyer and the seller, both from my
best
company.
Best interest for you, for the company.
So it's the best interest for the company.
Not for the seller.
That's ridiculous. Who does that? And now they've taken it to such a level that their listings are banned from Zillow?
Well.
It's along the same lines of an agent coming in, not making you do anything to your house to prep it, letting you price it wherever, and then having multiple open houses because they're getting buyers. Because anytime we go to any realtor function, the only thing they talk about is how to get more leads. It's like, well, let's talk about how to sell the damn house, like not get more leads.
Yeah.
You just want to have it on for a long period of time, because if it's on for a month, how many open houses is that? If it's only on for a weekend, you only get 2 open houses. They want 6, you know?
Well, so. You use the word leads. That's what the problem is Zillow's model is to take your listing and generate buyer leads and sell them to realtors.
Yeah.
So Compass is pissed off that they have to buy leads that are coming into my house.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. I don't care. I really don't care. I just want to sell the house. I want to get as much exposure as possible. So Colby, you're looking at this and found out that 2.5% of Compass listings are sold by Compass agents. Ours is 5.5%, and we're not even trying. We're literally going.
Sense of properties are our team.
No, our team.
Our team, yeah.
So, but because people come right to us, as you know, and I think it's more than 5.5, but they come right to our team and go, will you facilitate the contract? And, you know, sure. Because it's pretty nice not to have another agent screw things up.
Yeah.
But whatever. We don't try and do that, but sometimes they want us to facilitate. When they try 2.5% sell their own listings, that's what I'm calling bullshit.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny because they have talking points. And anybody who follows politics knows people talk politics, talking points, you're like, that doesn't make any sense. But their talking points don't make any sense to me. I'm like, yeah, bullshit. You guys want to have the leads come directly to you and not through Zillow, and you're willing to throw the client under the bus in order to get it. So I'm going to make a prediction. That's the news today. Zillow and Compass are suing each other. I'm going to make a prediction, and I mean it's a big one, and I would We'll see what happens. There's going to be a class action lawsuit against Compass and their agents. Now, maybe this year, maybe next year, maybe the year after. It's coming. Because what's happened is they're documenting that they had an offer for to sell a house. And the contract kicked out. So they put it on the open market. They got $100,000 more than that private contract. If you get five of those examples, now there's going to be thousands.
Money.
Yeah.
Now, what you're going to they're going to say is what the attorneys are going to do, the class action attorneys are going to go, they're going to go to everybody that sold in-house, go, you could have got another $100,000. I got proof of it.
Yeah.
But five different deals. And you watch $500,000 on 10,000 transactions.
Yeah.
They're going to throw a lawsuit out. And again, I don't know. I don't want to get into the legal side of this, but I'm a real estate. I don't want to get sued for anything. I don't want to say I steered you to do this, and that might have cost you $100,000. Now I'm going to get sued for that. Mm. Not me. I'm risk averse. I don't think realtors should take on any liability. My job is to expose you to everybody in the world at the highest bid, and that's it.
Your job is always in the. If you are representing the seller. Seller.
Did you have a stroke too?
Seller.
So when you're representing the seller, that's my name.
I was just trying to make you feel mad. We're all one here. If
one slurs, we all slur.
I'm like, shit, I gotta do something to take the heat off him. Seller. If you are representing the seller, you are going to do everything in their best interest.
Right.
Whether that means, you know, with your own daughter, okay,
yeah.
Because we have the example, it doesn't matter. We're not ever going to do anything that steers you in the wrong direction where you would leave money on the table. It's just not going to happen. And there was a perfect example of a home that we had the buyers who were interested in purchasing, and you and Kelly were selling it. And we came in and we said we want to, you know, lock it up before it coming soon. And he said no. And I'm like, oh, I know it's protocol, but like, come on, like this one time. No. And not only did you do that, but you used our predictive analysis to then drop it to the bigger
buyer. That pissed you off.
It pissed me off. I'm like,
well, let me explain that real quick. And I know what happens is, for this preliminary before you list a house, there's a period, and they want to offer it to all their clients. What we do, put on coming soon, see if anybody's coming to see it, see if we're getting all the, if this is the right price.
Yeah.
Now, 70% of the homes we list have to drop down $50,000 to where the buyer pool is. We're testing a bigger buyer pool. But if there's nobody there, we'll go to the rock solid buyer pool. And then we'll launch it. So Morgan.
And then I know that means that there's more competition. All hell's about to break loose. If you would have kept it at that higher price, then maybe not too many people would come, and then we'd be able to get it. But as soon as they dropped it,
I know.
Now we got cut.
Though I understand, obviously, we do this every week. It's like, all right, well, you know, we don't even get a break. It's always, always, no matter what. Best interest of the seller and the, you know, what the buyers get out of it is we will try to lead you in the right direction of, you know, of where we need to be. But you're not going to be able to pay extra. If anything, you're going to have to pay a little more.
They're going to
have
to pay more.
Then if we find a listing that's not our own, we'll maybe be able to get a deal. And if it's our listing, you might.
And you guys got it.
Premium.
You got it. But your client had to bid higher than everybody else.
Yeah, of course.
That's when they were initially planning.
So I think it's probably $70,000 more than you guys thought you were going to have to put in. Yeah.
I know that protocol. They have the house. They're happy.
You guys prepare the house so well and everything, too, that the buyers are just salivating.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The job of a realtor is to get as many people in the house. First of all, present the house correctly. Second of all, get as many people in the house to experience the house as humanly possible, and then handle the bids properly, right? So we had to get everybody in the house first, figure out what the price is, let them bid it up. There's your price. But I can't sell something off market like they're talking about doing, because that's not what I'm hired to do. I'm hired to get the seller the best possible price and the best possible terms. I'm just saying, if you give somebody advice, that's going to cost them money.
Yes. Yeah.
That's very bad.
Yes.
It's very dangerous. Okay. So for these litigious attorneys, I see it coming.
Yep.
They always pick on the biggest ones, you know? Oh, the big Compass is really big. Oh, you're okay. Got a lot of money? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Why don't we find something to sue you for? And I'm just saying, if you're steering people away from what's into their best interest and it costs them money, that's a real lawsuit. I think the NAR lawsuit was bullshit. That was just a bunch of attorneys that were greedy. It didn't help the buyers or sellers anything. It did not help the buyers or sellers in the commission situation. But that could be a real lawsuit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That could end. I don't know what's going to happen. I hope I'm alive when it does, but I see that coming. All right. So back to the news. They're talking about a 50-year mortgage, right? They're talking about affordability. They want to make housing more affordable, okay? So as a real estate person, a lender, they've got a couple of things that they're throwing out. One is a 50-year mortgage, right?
Yeah, I think there could definitely be uses for the 50-year mortgage to help people qualify,
right.
You know, and it's that area where we'll probably run numbers and show this is how much you're paying down each year if you want to do a 30-year versus a 50-year.
Right.
But if the buyer really wants to get into a house that they're borderline, you know, the 50-year could come in handy.
Right.
And I could always present to them, this is the 30-year payment. If you're able, you can pay couple hundred bucks a month extra.
It's exactly like a 15-year versus a 30. You get a 15-year mortgage and you're paying this much principal, or a 30-year mortgage you're paying this much principal, or a 50-year mortgage you're paying that much principal.
Sure.
And so it helps them qualify. I get that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think you're talking about a very minimal part of the market.
Yeah.
Okay. What I think is really powerful, and you'd have to walk through how you would do this, was they're talking about portable mortgages. Where if somebody's in, I'm going to use round numbers. I'm going to use my round numbers. Let's say you get $1 million mortgage at 2.5%. You don't want to leave and move and go to another house and pay 6% on that mortgage when I'm stuck at 2.5. So what happens is it freezes the market. Nobody's moving up. Nobody's moving down. They're not going to leave with these 2.5% mortgages. So what happens? It's the worst 2 or 3 years in history. Okay, 23, 24, 25, horrible years. But if a couple could take the 2.5% mortgage, $1 million mortgage on their home, buy a new home, take the rest of their equity, put it down in the new home, they would move.
Absolutely.
And they would move up or down or anywhere. They would take the loan with them, right? So it's a great concept. It's a huge concept. Now, let's say you move up to your house and you're going from a $1.5 to a $2 million home, so you need another $500,000.
Right.
Okay.
Here's a call.
She just laughed. Taking you alone with you. It's like, you're alone. You got, for a while.
You guys, you put a collar on. Come on, guys. Let's go. Come on now.
Remember what I said. Lifestyle, business.
Business time.
Okay. I know your business, too, but that's the way you think. We're talking about portable mortgages, and you're talking about walking up down the street.
Business in the front, party.
We are business in the front. Yeah, so anyway, back to the portable mortgages. Back to the portable mortgages. If they could move it from one house to another, that would open the market up miraculously. Now, I'm not
so much for inventory.
The question is, and we watch it, there's inventory and then there's buyers, right? So right now there's a 20% delta on how much inventory is coming versus how many buyers are buying. And that means there's a lot of inventory on the market. So that dictates prices are coming down. So by watching inventory and buyers, I could tell you, are prices going down or are they going up, okay? So if this phenomenon happens, then what does that mean? Does that mean there's more inventory than buyers, or are both gonna go up together, or is buyers gonna go higher? So we've gotta see how it's gonna affect the market. But I will tell you, the big winners are anyone in the real estate industry that has, we have suffered. Well, I know that we've had great years, and I know you're not suffering, but the rest of the...
we have suffered. I'm like, I mean, people
are suffering. Is it suffering? Okay. Okay. I'm talking about the rest of the real estate industry. They suffered through two or three very difficult years because interest rates went to 7.5%, 8%. Well, if you take a person has that, I don't know what the percentage of people that have those low mortgages on. It's got to be 40%, 50%. It's high, 50%. Those people can go, you know what? I would like a bigger house. I do need a bigger house. I just didn't want to leave my mortgage. I'm going to take it with me. And let me just say that there's a delta of 200, 300, 400, 500,000. And there's a couple of different ways to solve that. Your industry, the financial markets. Trust.
Sure.
So the financial markets will come and have some kind of wraparound or... And what they call is a wraparound mortgage. I'm going to take a second and your first. I'm going to wrap them together. It might not be 2.5, but it's not going to be 5 or 6. It might be 3.25.
Yeah.
So they may have
the majority of your money is at that low rate.
Right. So watch what happens. They can take that first trust, the portable mortgage. You go to Mike, and you're going to have what's called, and they haven't announced this yet. They haven't said anything about this, but I'm going to tell you that's what you're going to call it. It's a wraparound mortgage where they can go, I need another $300,000. Okay, we'll take that loan and this loan, combine them together, and you're going to pay 3.25%. You'll make money, and they get in the house at less than market. That is what I think a massive potential that the market is going to have. Now, how that's going to move prices up or down remains to be determined. But at least the number of transactions
skyrocketed.
I will tell you that in 2005, the number of transactions in Fairfax County is up here today. It's right here.
Right.
At least it'll move the transactions back up.
Yeah.
You know, it'll move it up a little bit. And I think that's extremely powerful. That's where I'm keeping an eye on. Donnie is advocating it. And Donnie, who's the CEO of Sanford Properties, he hangs out with all the executives from Zillow and NAR. And, you know, I mean, he's up with the top guys. And they're listening to him, and he's good. And so we'll see where that goes. I think that's the future. Look for those names. Now, I'm going to tell you one story before we go. And this affects you guys. It affects
tell too many stories. Before I do stop, let me give you another one.
I'll give you one more story.
Yesterday,
DeMatha Catholic High School beat Gonzaga. And they beat him. And the head coach of DeMatha Catholic is a guy named Bill McGregor. And Bill McGregor, one day I heard, way back in the day, I heard that he had gone. Now, he puts more people in Division I colleges than all Northern Virginia coaches combined. So I heard he went to a high school to watch them play because he wanted to learn about this defense.
Right.
So I went to see him. And I said, Bill, is that true, coach? You wouldn't go out there to see that, right? And he said, the next words out of his mouth changed my life, VYF football and Sampson Properties forever. The words out of his mouth were, you wouldn't believe how gracious he was with his time. You just wouldn't believe it, coach. He said, and I don't know what he said after that. I didn't care. By saying that, it meant that the most knowledgeable football person in the country, most successful, had gone to learn from somebody else about something, which means he didn't stop learning. Now, at the time, Justin, who's working in the back office, and Jamie, who's over in the print center, ran the Donnelly Cowboys, okay? And they're good. They're great coaches, right? But in Vienna at the time, everybody kind of weren't sharing. You know, we were 40-0. We didn't share shit. We didn't want to know shit. We knew everything. We were so damn smart. And you guys had your group, and, you know, all the coaches had their own stuff. But nobody talked, and nobody shared. At Sampson Properties, most realtors just know their own stuff. They don't want to talk to you about what I do because I don't want to give away any of my secrets. And so everybody was like this. And I walked in. The BY football, I said, guys, I was so scared. I thought I was an absolute ass because I never asked questions. So I went to VY Football. I said, we're doing it all wrong. Everybody's got to learn from each other. I walked in and met with your brother, Jamie, and I said, okay, run that countertop by me one time. Show me how you do this. Show me how you do that. And before you know it, we started having camps and clinics, and the coaches were all learning from each other and sharing the ideas. And I went to Danny. I said, Danny, we got to get all the top producers together, and we got together over at International Country Club and started talking to each other and opening up. What's working for you? What's, you know, how are we doing this? Well, now Donnie is presiding over every first of every month. We have a massive amount of top producing realtors called the Masterminds, and we are all sharing ideas. And now Samson Properties is growing, and basically our corporate culture is everybody helps everybody. It's a different culture.
It is.
VYI, one of the most dominant groups in all the country for youth sports, because everybody helps everybody.
And
it all comes from that guy, Bill McGregor, who does not know it.
And everyone asks each other questions to learn. Now, with the comment, Morgan, you should ask Google, because Google won't laugh at you before or after you talk to McGregor.
After. Morgan asks questions, and I'm like,
before or after.
It's best you ask Google that question, because at least Google won't laugh at you. It was a very nice story. I'm sorry I blew it, but I'm just telling you, that's why. Donnie doesn't realize what really propelled the company. Bill McGregor doesn't realize what he said, but what he said had so much power, and that shows you how it radiates all over the place. So, you know, you're never too smart. That's why.
And after you know it all, that's
what you learn after you know it all. Yep. That's
Mike Trump. We're done here. Hello. See you next week.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. Cheers. Yeah. Cold is done.
Call me right now. More beer.